Mrs. May, reel 2.
Did you have any letters from him, from the groom, after he'd gone over to France?
Oh, yes, I had some letters from him. I had one or two letters, too, from those soldiers that are not that was in the house, but the soldiers that we packed the munitions for. I had one come down to visit me, sent a card and said I'd be on leave and I'd be coming to see you. And I was home by then, of course, in the arsenal. I thought, oh, my goodness, what am I going to do with him?
How did he know who you were?
Well, because I'd sent this letter.
Inside
the
shell?
Put a little note inside this, not the shells, in the fuses, you know. They were like wire coils. Packed it in with that name and address. And he wrote and I wrote and he wrote. And then he sent one of those silk cards and put on it, getting a spot of leave. I come down to see you. I thought, oh my goodness, what am I going to do with him? Because I wasn't very bright as regards to soldiers and sailors. So what do you think happened? Mother took him out for a drink. Well, I never went in pubs or anything like that. So Mother took him out. I always laugh to myself when I think of that. Oh, how silly I was. I was a stupid, you know.
Did lots of girls put notes in?
Oh, yes. There was always someone putting a note in. Just a little scribble note. You know, this find your world, hope your son says that and say things like that. And some of them would answer. Not all of them, of course. We'd have had the post office to ourselves, I reckon.
Was he the only one that you heard from?
The only one that came down, yes. Two or three of them just wrote, and I sort of wrote back, and then I didn't trouble anymore. If they wrote and said they were lonely and wanted some letters from someone, you know, you don't mind writing then. Well, we didn't mind. It was just to give him a kick, really, writing. You know.
In addition to the soldiers and officers, did the Minettes take in any Belgian refugees?
Well, as I said, they had that little row of houses, about five houses, I think there was. That was right outside the church. There's a 12th century church, by the way.
At Headham Hall?
Not in the hall, just outside the grounds. We used to go down what we call the nut walk. It was all covered in nut trees, and we call it a nut walk. Just go around this winding lane into the church. It didn't actually belong to the house. But there was, but as far as I know, but I can't remember seeing anyone. But the girls used to say that's where the Belgians are, you know. And whether they were taken in before I... couldn't have been before I got there, because the war hadn't started. Unless there was some other... They were at war with the Belgians, weren't they, before we went in it, weren't they? They went through Belgium, didn't they?
Yes.
Yeah, they went through Belgium. So probably they came over then, but I didn't see the coming of them.
There must have been changes at Headham Hall during wartime. Were they able to have the same sort of lifestyle, the same meals?
Oh, I don't think so. No, I don't think so. It's more or less more plain cooking, you know. Mind you, they didn't go short of anything, I don't think. I don't think we did, neither, in the kitchen and that. But there was not all that fancy work, and that's what I'd like to have sort of learnt more of the fancy cookies, to make a cake and all that, you know, for their teas. They'd only have a little snack, afternoon cup of tea and cakes. Taken in.
So. You said the Minettes had three cars.
Mm-hmm. They did.
It must have been quite unusual for that time.
They did have them, but two were commandeered and he was left with one, which was quite enough at that time.
What made you decide to leave the Minettes at Headham Hall and return to London?
Well, it was because Mum was getting a bit het up. She really was, you know. She used to get a bit hysterical when the bombs were dropping. Having my brother, and Dad was ill too. He went into consumption. He died in 1917. So I understand she was a bit getting things a bit on top of her. And I thought, oh, I'm going home. So I went home.
Now, one of your brothers was in the Navy,
mm-hmm.
and the other one was mm-hmm. a cripple. But you had a sister at home, didn't you?
My youngest sister was at home. She worked. She worked in Lampson Paragon's printers, printing place. My older sister, she went in the arsenal. So I didn't go where she went, though. She was all yellow. To crown her, she had ginger hair. So what with her ginger hair and her yellow skin? Still.
What was she doing in the arsenal that made her yellow?
Well, that TNT powder. Don't know what she was doing, actually, with it. Filling something, I suppose. Filling the shells or whatever they put it in. I never knew because I didn't go. We didn't discuss our work much. No. Yes, canaries. People, they call us canaries. There's a song about it, wasn't there? Same as the lads across the sea. If it wasn't for us ammunition girls, where would the empire be? Of course, this was the canaries made it up for themselves. I'm forgetting that stuff, did I?
Were the Minettes upset that you were leaving?
No, they're very nice about it. Said I could go back after the war if I wanted to, but I didn't because one of the girls I was working with, her brother was a prisoner of war. When he came home on leave, she introduced him, and that was my lot. Just went out with him and we married. He was prisoner for quite a while, really. And to crown it, he wasn't in a stabilised camp. He was drifting about. And he was sort of posted missing. Not killed, posted missing. And they sent letters and no answers and that. Well, it was quite a long time. They put in the papers. Anyone, you know, knew what had happened to him. I don't know quite when they got a letter towards the end of the war, I think. To say.
When were you married?
1922.
After the war?
Mm. Oh, yes, it was after the war, before he came home. Yeah, if they get killed, I won't get killed with them.
That's what you told Mr. Minette.
Well, he didn't query it. He just said, well, why do you want to leave? And I said, well, I said, if my family's going to get killed, I'd like to be killed with them. I can laugh when I think of that. Stupid.
Well,
I suppose that was my thoughts. Because of that explosion, see, and all the windows were blown out. And
the Silvertown explosion.
That was bad.
Fortunately, they didn't get killed, though there were raids nearby, weren't there?
Oh, yes, we had the raids. Oh, yeah, you could see them coming out of the window. Almost in the day when they'd done a day raid. And we was near that, well, not near, but near enough to that gun they used to call Big Bertha to hear it all blasting away, you know. Made it sound sort of worse than it was.
Were there any raids while you were at Haddam Hall?
Oh, yes. We used to be able to go out and we'd see them go over. So, oh, another lot for London, you know. Yes, we'd know they were about, sort of thing. And if they dropped any nearer, I'd say, oh, thank God, that's less for London. Well.
Your neighbourhood in London hit?
Oh, yes, several. Freemasons Road. I mean, the docks, don't forget, I was around the docks and they had it. Not as bad as the Second War, though. That's where they got it most.
Oh, well.
Oh, yeah. Yes, that was terrible. Around there for them. It's two old ladies, yeah. Miss Edwards. It was a tobacco and sweet shop. And that was in the daylight raid, and the bombs were sort of getting nearer, and they ran out to pull the shutters down in front of the shop just as one dropped. And they got the full force of the powder over them. I don't know what it was. Some say it was mustard powder, or anyway, it made blisters. They had badly blistered arms and that. And I had blistered feet for being nosy. I'm afraid I hadn't got much, I'm not going to say sense, but fear. I wasn't all that scared. I suppose people are made different, aren't they? Some are and some aren't. Some go to pieces and some not really heartless about it, but you're not frightened for yourself. The only time I got frightened in the Second World War was when they started on those doodlebugs, and you couldn't think what was going to happen. Because it all comes filing in, you know, nearly engine. Silent. Bonk. Someone had got it. And I was a bit scared one night over that, but I shook it off. I thought, oh, well, when the engine stops, you know, they're dropping one, and that's, you know, someone's going to get it.
During the First World War, when there was a raid, was there somewhere you could go for shelter?
No, I don't think so. I don't think there was any shelter. I don't remember any. No, I don't remember any at all. No, Mum used to stand on the stairs, I think.
What about your brother who was paralysed? Was there anywhere that you could move him?
Oh, he could walk, you know. He was only one side paralysed, so he could walk. He was sort of like this, his arm and his leg was a bit lame. Oh, no, he could walk, and he didn't seem worried. No.
Why did you choose to go to the arsenal in particular?
Well, that was where they wanted people most, I suppose. That's where they kept, you know, saying your king and country need you and you and you. So he went. Well, actually, I think I went to the Arsenal Exchange. I think they had an exchange of their own over Woolwich. I believe we did. You forget some of those things. Quite how it comes about. But it wasn't a Labour exchange. It was an Arsenal exchange, as far as I can remember. And asked what work, and I said yes, you know, have to come and have an inspection by the doctor, so you had to go and they make sure you wasn't a man dodging the column. Oh dear, I have little cubicles, so I remember that. And then they sort of sort out what work there was, and they sent me to this detonator place. Well, I'd have stopped there if they hadn't asked, you know, for anyone to go to the other place, other building. And I thought, oh well, I think anything'd be better than this. I don't mind the danger part of it, so long as I got out of all that racket, you know.
What was your job with the detonators?
Well, a cap like that, bigger, of course, according to the size. And that had to unscrew, come off. And that all comprised of about a dozen different things, little springs, little this, little that, all packed in there, you know, in its order. And each part had to come out, be measured with a thing that we had for measuring, and weigh in the springs to see if they took the right pressure and all that sort of thing. One would do this, one would do that, one would go see. And as you filled, done that box load, so you'd pass that box on, the next girl would do her part to it, and that's how it would go on right down the table. When it got to the end of the table, it would come back the other end, being assembled again. Didn't do all the job yourself. That was how it was done. Of course, there was a lot of, not so much on the job I was on, it wasn't the Henry, but further down the shop, it was a very, very long shop. There's all this racket of tapping and, you know, brasswork tapping and hammers, metal hammers, you know, on metal. It was a bit of machine work down there.